Well, I have good news. Found my mic. It was in my pocket. No lie. Yeah, it's the first sign right there. It gets worse, Eddie? Don't tell me that, man. Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Beginning in verse 9. Matthew 6, beginning in verse 9. Now, the disciples had asked Jesus how to pray, and we just recited this prayer together this morning. Do that most Sunday mornings. Beginning in verse 9. This then is how you should pray. These are the words of Christ. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit, I have felt your presence this morning. Pray that you would come, speak in power and authority, transform our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. If you come to the Hatcher House, especially on certain occasions, all you see is dogs. I mean, there just seem like there's just dogs everywhere. But we had, remember an occasion a couple of years ago, we had a newer dog, a new pup, and I was giving, then we had an older dog that was like the mama dog, and occasionally when they need bathing, Cheryl or I, we both bathe them, do different things, but I sometimes we'll get in the shower. It's just easier, just get in the shower and just scrub down the dogs, and the older dog had been through this routine many times, and so I take him one at a time, and I take mama dog, and I pick her up, and I start scrubbing her, and she just relaxes in my arms. She just lays back, and this is good. Life is good. And I scrub her, and she likes that, and she doesn't struggle to get out. And then I kind of turn her over, and I get the little hose, and I spray her down, and it's all good. Well, then, here comes pup. And it's every man for himself. And she's clawing and scratching, and you can just feel the tension. And I try to lay her over on her back and scrub her underneath her belly and all, and she doesn't want any of that. And she's just scared to death. Scared to death. She doesn't know what's going on. She doesn't know whether I'm going to hurt her. And the other dog just, you know, has been there. How is that similar to us with God? Doesn't our walk with Jesus, doesn't our experience with him when he has been faithful with us, doesn't that help to calm us when storms come? Today, you know, I started with Matthew 6, the Lord's Prayer, and I wanted us to kind of focus on verse 11 a little bit. Give us today our daily bread. Now, in fact, that's the name of the sermon today, our daily bread. And, you know, most of the time when we recite the Lord's Prayer, when we read this scripture, we think that we're saying, God, keep us well fed, keep us fed. But that's not really the extent. I mean, that's part of it, but that's not the extent of what Jesus was saying. He was saying that we are to rely on God and we are to trust him to be our provider, that he is trustworthy. And so there's this calling to him, this calling out to God in trust, just like mama dog and puppy dog. There's a lot of difference between when you trust and when you don't. You know, they both got a shower. But it was a lot more pleasant experience for one than it was the other. I want us because it's so long, the whole chapter of Exodus 16, I'm not going to read it, but I encourage you on your own time to read Exodus 16. Now, I want to set this up. As Moses has God has used Moses to free the Israelites from the Egyptians. And we know Charlton Heston, you know, Moses looked like Charlton Heston. We all know that. But we know that God sent plagues, and he ended up finally the Egyptians let the Israelites go, and we know that he miraculously parted the Red Sea, and he allowed them to escape the Egyptians. And you may not know this, but later he also parted the Jordan River to allow them to cross over the Jordan. So God did it twice. But we pick it up here in Exodus 16. And again, I encourage you to read this whole chapter this week. But we pick it up in 16, where 2.5 months after God has delivered the Israelis from the Egyptians, 2.5 months later, in Exodus 16, the Israelites begin to grumble. I hopefully I wouldn't have been one of those knuckleheads grumbling. I mean, you see all of the stuff that God did to free them, and then you see the pillar of fire and all of this stuff, and then you see the sea open up and allow them to cross, and then it closes back down and to protect them, and you see all of this miraculous stuff, and then they started 2.5 months in, their food started running out. And it says in Exodus 16, they began to grumble. So, God is patient with us. Does anybody else realize that besides me? God is patient. You know, he should have just wiped them out right there. Don't you know? I mean, after all he had done for them, he had freed them from bondage, and here they are complaining of what they've got to eat. Well, instead of wiping them out, God promises through Moses to bring them meat and bread. Well, some of this is also recorded in Numbers 11, if you're interested in that. But one of the things he says is, I'm going to supply quail into the camp. And he talks about how they believe, most theologians believe that a wind blew in. God used a wind to blow in. The quail are supposed to be heading that way, and this wind blows them back into the camp. Now, it wasn't just like this small little camp. It said that from the center point of camp, a day's walk in any direction, and dove were at 3 feet level for a day's walk in any direction. Now, I don't know what they can walk, but I know when we used to go backpacking, carrying 75 pounds on my back, going straight uphill, I could make 8-10 miles a day. So you would think they could maybe do 10 miles a day. So if you go from the center point, if you go 10 miles in any direction, that's a 100 square miles, right? If my math is right. 100 square miles, quail everywhere. God's a big God. And then he also provided this thing called manna. Now, everybody's heard of manna. If you know anything at all about the Bible, you've heard that term manna, and you know that God supplied manna to the Israelites. Well, do you know what manna stands for? What is it? Who said that? Man, what, Jim? You're cheating, man. You're a preacher. That's cheating. Did anybody else know that besides the other preacher in the house? All right, a few of you. All right. You can't answer any more questions. No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, when they saw this, it was this bread-like material. A dew would form on the ground in the morning, and they were instructed by God to collect it and to put it into these containers, and it would, as it dried, it would turn into this bread-like material. And the scripture says in Exodus 16, verse 31, it says that it was the manna was white like coriander seed, which I don't know what a coriander seed. Some of y'all may. White like coriander seed and tasted like wafers made with honey. So this kind of cracker bread-like material would form as this substance dried. Now scientists have tried to figure out what manna was, and you know what? There is no such thing as manna. It doesn't exist. But God had it exist for 40 years because that's what the Israelites ate for 40 years. Now, here's what he instructed them. He said, go out every day and collect only what you will eat. And he even gave them, he called it an omer. One omer, which is equivalent to roughly 2 quarts. So for each person, you were to go collect this substance that they had named manna, because manna means, what is it? I love that. We thought it was some big deal. No, I mean, what is it? You know, the Israelites were not very creative. What do we call it? I don't know. What is it? That's what I would have named it too, probably. But so they were to collect this substance called manna, and they were to collect enough for them for one day. And then it said on Fridays, which was their day before their Sabbath, they were to collect enough for 2 days. And he said, as you collect enough for one day, don't collect more than one day. It's what God instructed them. And he said, if you do, he just said, don't do it. Well, some of them thought, well, this may not be here in the morning. Can't imagine that we wouldn't do that, would we? There may not be any in the morning, so we better get all we can get. I know God said, just do one day, but let's just get a little more, just in case. Anybody relating to any of this? Let's just get a little bit more. God may not come through like he said he would. So the ones who collected more than one day's worth, guess what? This is kind of gross. They woke up and it was filled with maggots. They collected more than he said. It was rotten. But then on Friday, as I said, on Friday he said, no, now on Friday I want you to collect enough for 2 days, so that, because I don't want you gathering it on the Sabbath. And guess what? You think that second day, that second part, do you think it got stale and maggots? Lo and behold, it lasted 2 days. It's like almost like God said it and it happened. I mean, it's almost like we can trust him. Isn't that amazing? It's almost as if we could trust God when he says something. The Israelites ate this manna for 40 years. Can't you just imagine, you know, sometimes you haven't eaten something, you know, leftovers, you haven't, and after about the fifth day, you're like, are you kidding me? We're having sandwiches again. You ever been there? Can you imagine after about 35 years, like, manna, that's it? For 40 years. But here's I want us to learn some lessons from this show. But before we do, I want to show you a little. I love this little poster. I had to put it on here. You can't see it very well. It's a picture of Moses. Can you read that? The little caption says, that one wasn't manna, and it's got a quail flying over the top. And check this guy's face out in the green. I think he was shooting for some manna, and it didn't work out too well for him. God can be trusted. Does anybody know that? Have you seen that? Just like the young pup and the old dog. That old dog knew that I didn't mean her any harm. She knew what I was doing was to help her. She knew that she was going to feel good after the process. She knew that there's good things waiting for her. The young dog was just scared to death. I don't know who this guy is, and I don't know what he's doing. I don't trust him. So I'm going to claw and scrape. And by the way, when I get out, I mean, I look like a zebra. You know, there's just scratches all over me because of her clawing, because she wouldn't relax and trust me. God can be trusted. You can trust God. The first reason we can trust God is, number one, is because he loves you. If you don't know that this morning, please, please don't leave until you understand that God loves you. Everything that he has done demonstrates that, and most specifically, Jesus hanging on a cross. Did you know that they didn't drag, you've heard me say this before, they did not drag Jesus kicking and screaming to the cross. He went to the cross. He went to the cross and he took the nails. He stretched out his arms for us and he took the nails on our behalf. And that, my friends, is love. It wasn't, he wasn't bound and gagged like a common criminal. He was waiting for them. He was praying. He was in so much anguish the night before they came, knowing what awaited him, that it said he literally, his sweat became like drops of blood. He was so anxious because he knew the price that he must pay. And not only did he pay the physical price, but he paid the spiritual price for us. It was our sins. There's a song that I love. It was our sins that nailed him there. So he was paying the debt that we owed. And friends of Christ, if we don't understand that God is trustworthy because he sent his son to take nails for us because he loves us, if we don't understand that, then we're not going to get anything else. We have to understand. It all starts there. 1 John 4:10 says, "This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins." You know, and I say it myself. I say it myself about, you know, other people and about my own relationship with God. It's like, oh, I love God, you know, and he's turned his life over to God. He loves God. She loves God and so forth. But here's what we really have to get. Our loving him is a response to the fact that he already loves us. And I talked about this last week, that the scripture that's probably most well known to most people is John 3:16. And it says, "For God so loved that he gave." For God so loved you and me that he gave his one and only son. And so if we don't get that, then we're not going to trust God. If we don't understand his deep, abiding love for us, we're not going to trust him. Second thing, you can trust God because he's trustworthy. That's kind of maybe a play on words there, but we can have faith in God because he's faithful. We can trust him because he's trustworthy. He is good for it. If he says it, he's going to do it. If you've been here for very long, you heard me share this, and I'll just give you a little Reader's Digest version to remind you of this story. But I was in the computer business for 20 years, and Cheryl and I, we felt a call into the ministry in the late 90s. And long story, but I left my computer job, and there was about a year and a half, 2 years there where, man, it was rough. It was rough. I mean, I just didn't, I didn't know. I didn't know if God, I mean, I was like, God, come on now. I trusted you. I remember I tease about it. I went one night, I was so frustrated because things just weren't happening the way I thought they would happen. And I told Cheryl, I'm going for a jog. And of course she fainted because I've never, it was my, you know, I don't exercise enough, right, Cheryl? But anyway, I just had to run. I had to do something. It's either like, you know, knock a hole in the wall or run. So I just decided to run. It cost less. And so I was running, and I was actually running out here on this course. It's late at night. And I remember I stopped right there under those trees by that bridge, and I just started giving God the business. Did you know God loves us enough to scold him? Can you imagine that? He should have just zapped. He should have wiped me out like a bug. But God loved me enough to let me scold him. And I was giving it to him. I was like, God, I trusted you. Where are you? I've put my family at risk here. Where are you? And I mean, I was giving it to him. And it was during that time of our life that, I really, at that moment when I was scolding God, I really felt God speak to my heart and say, Jeff, I'm breaking you. Just like a wild horse or something. I just felt like he was saying, I'm breaking you. I want you to know you haven't got anything but me. I'm all you've got. I'm the only hope that you have. And I just remember saying, well, God, then break me. Don't leave anything undone. I'm here. I'm going through it. Don't let me get up off the table until you're through creating what you want to create. And it was during that time that I began to fast. And I don't know how you feel about fasting, but I mean, it's biblical. God tells us to do it. It's not only a discipline, but it's also a way of seeking God's heart. And I was really desperate. And I remember saying, God, and it wasn't a protest. It was really, I just was seeking. It was so hungry for his heart. And it wasn't a protest or an anger, but I just said, God, I'm not going to eat until you speak to me, until you tell me something. Whatever you want to tell me, I'm not going to eat. And this is not, I'm not boasting, I'm just telling you, because I guarantee you, if you've seen me eat, you know this was not within my power to do this. But I went 11 days, and I never hungered. I drank fluids to keep myself hydrated, but I was never hungry. And I went home one day, and Cheryl was making some, she had some chips and hot sauce. And y'all heard, many of you heard this story. But all of a sudden, those chips and hot sauce started rising up. I'm just kidding. They were, in my mind, they were rising up out of the bowl. And they weren't, really. It wasn't weird like that. But I just wanted me some hot sauce and chips. And I said, I said, I'm going to the bedroom to pray. And I went to the bedroom and I cracked open God's word. And I said, Lord, you need to take this hunger from me, or you need to speak to me, because I'm hungry. And here's the passage he led me to. I mean, I just cracked open my Bible, and here's where it dropped. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body. And listen to this. Nourishment to your bones. And I heard two things from that passage. Number one, I heard God say, just trust me. Do you trust me? The manna's going to be there, Jeff. I've promised it. It's going to be there. When you get up in the morning, it's going to be there. Just go gather it. And so I heard trust him, and then I heard nourishment. I did. I went and had me some hot sauce and chips. But God was just speaking to my heart. I expected this, okay, you're going to do, move to wherever and do this. I expected all these details. But he was saying is just trust me. Do you trust me, Jeff? I mean, do you trust me? I told you that I was calling you into this field, into this ministry, and I know right now you don't see what's coming, but do you trust me? We can trust God because he's trustworthy. And I've told you this before in this church. You guys, this fellowship, the reason you're so special to me is because y'all are the fulfillment. Y'all are the manna in my life. Y'all are the manna that God promised me. He promised me a congregation of people to love and to be loved by. And y'all are the manna in my life. Third thing, you can trust God because he is God. He can do things that no one else can do. And that's what he was showing me out here on the bridge that night. I'm breaking you, Jeff, because I'm your only hope. I'm all you have. I don't feel like I can't trust other people. I can't trust Cheryl or others in my life. It's not that at all, because I do. But he's saying when it's all said and done and you wipe everything else away, I'm it. I'm all you have because I'm God. You see? I'm God. And nobody else is. And you can trust me because I'm God. And there's nothing outside of my grasp. There's nothing outside of my means. There's no relationship too broken. There's no situation too hopeless. There's no depression too deep for me, Jeff. He's saying that to you this morning. And what demonstrates that God is God more than anything else in our life is an empty tomb. That that Easter morning, the ladies go to anoint the body. They've all of his disciples and the soldiers and everybody else, they've seen this dead, lifeless Jesus taken down from the cross, and they've put him in this tomb, and they go to anoint his body on the third day, which just so happened to be the day Jesus said he would rise, and they found an angel instead of a body. And the angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified." Now, to be crucified doesn't mean almost dead. Anybody ever seen Princess Bride? Well, he's only mostly dead. You ever seen that? You'd have to see the movie. But anyway, crucified, the Romans knew what they were doing. They were artists when it came to crucifixion. So they didn't take people down from the cross until they were dead. So he said, "I know that you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He's not here. He's risen just as he said." And then he said, "Come see the place where he laid. You can trust God because he's God. He's the God of resurrection. He's the God of empty tombs." So my question this morning to each of us is, what do we need to trust God with today? Now, I just want that question to soak over you for just a second. Maybe it's a hopeless situation, a hopeless relationship. Maybe it's finances or health or any number of things, a job, marriages. Maybe you're just lonely. Maybe you just feel so alone, like nobody cares. I could die today and nobody would even notice it. Maybe that's you. What do you need to trust God with today? Because he loves you, he's trustworthy, and he's God. I want you to, if you would, just bow your head for just a second. If the praise team will just stay seated for just a second. Won't you just let that question soak over you for just a moment. What do you need to trust God with today? What can only he do that everything else that seems hopeless, but what can only God do for you? Perhaps you're even grieving a really deep, deep grief. God's trustworthy. He is the lover of your soul. Maybe fear has a grip on you. First thing the angel said to the woman is, "Do not be afraid." Don't be afraid. God is with you. Maybe there's deep, deep wounds from your past, maybe from yesterday. Jesus says, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened. I'll give you rest. I've come to heal the brokenhearted." God, you are the lover of our souls. And really, you are the only one, the only thing that is truly, eternally trustworthy. Father, this group that's gathered today, we don't really think about it this way, but this group, just the way we're assembled today, will never exist again. So you've got us here. You've got our attention, God. Show us. Minister to our hearts. Your word says that you know the plans you have for us. Plans to prosper us and not to harm us. Plans to give us hope and a future. So I pray for hope and a future for everyone in this room. I pray blessings and prospering on those in this room. Minister to our hearts, God. Give us this day our daily bread. We trust you for it. This manna was known as coming from the bread of heaven. It's coming from heaven. So just minister to our hearts. Jesus' name. Amen. As the praise team comes forward, as we close this morning, I will be up front and the altar rail will be open. We've got also people, prayers with red tags, right? Blue tags that are available. They'll be scattered around. If you see somebody with the blue tag, they would be honored to pray with you as well. Let's stand as we close. If Jesus is not your Lord and Savior, please don't miss an opportunity for that. I'll be up front. You can come and share with me.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do
to get your picture made if you haven't already done that. They'll be outside here down at this end afterwards. Do you trust Him? I want to say it again. Do you trust Him?
Amen.
Go and tell someone that He is trustworthy. We are dismissed. Be blessed. Amen.
then in fellowship sweet, we will sing.